Welcome to a new episode of No Hay Backup, this community podcast. Today we're sitting at this table with Aragunde, Borgo.
Hello,
how are you?
Andreas
and I were chatting, we were discussing a little bit about what we were going to talk about, and Borgo said,
no, I'm going to talk about this.
This is going to be the episode where I'm going to talk about something and we don't
know what it is. He didn't share a slide or anything, so it's
better to be a surprise so we can see if we're on the same page, on the same wavelength. For me, people have to comment on this episode with a little surprise. Yes, in fact, the title is going to be question marks.
And
the thumbnail too. Yes, all question marks. So you're going to have to listen to the episode to find out what it's about. Yes, with you. Well, the idea is to talk a little bit about informal leaders. Have you ever heard of the term?
Yes, yes.
Well, it comes up. Basically, the model has changed and we no longer look for leaders who maintain impersonality and endorse conformity. That's what the guy says.
Document
all this, if you go to
words.
It's a document that I'm going to share with you later. Because informal leaders don't share that. Well, because for reasons that I can't reveal, I'll share them later. What does it say? Now, we're looking for leaders who embrace inclusion and allow for contribution. What does this mean? Value diverse perspectives and experiences. In other words, you have to include team members and value their opinions, focus on results and not on procedures. Demonstrate that impact matters and don't remain neutral. Allow general knowledge instead of asking for and reinforcing specific specialties. You got the Agile Manifesto. Let's
see.
Don't steal, man. Okay, let's not judge. Everyone does what they can.
We say and don't judge. We do a podcast, we play.
We
have to include.
Yeah,
of course.
Good.
Let's see. It talks about everything from how to change the leadership of leaders, managers, obtuse.
Sure.
And of course to something more inclusive, something else that allows you to develop as a professional, and something like what we were talking about in the Navy a couple of episodes ago. Decentralized, being able to delegate responsibilities a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Informal leaders lead through experience, influence, and the ability to bring the right people together in groups that are needed to solve problems. I mean, you have to know who to grab and who to bring together to solve each problem. They combine deep technological competence with solid organizational knowledge. Do you remember what it was like to be the policy navigator? Well, policy navigator plus a technological competence allows you to move around, form coalitions, and focus on group success rather than individual recognition. Well, it's important to know who to ask and make friends with. You make friends with the marketing guy, you make friends with the sales guy, so you know who to knock on when something explodes. That's not what a normal hierarchical leader does, or they can just kind of stay in the mold and
they're the hierarchical leader already knows that he has the power, and he already knows that he has, well, they're going to have to listen to me, so he doesn't have the need to generate.
But not the power with marketing. But for me, it doesn't matter. It's the development leader who hacks the organization to get results.
Okay,
for the leader, it's not hard power, it's softer power, it's guerrilla warfare. This is city warfare.
Excellent.
Perfect. Because for the traditional leader, what matters is staying in
his place and giving orders to his subordinates.
Instead, here, let's all move forward and advance like in the episode of the Navis.
Yes.
It's through their character and actions that they build trust and lead positive change. In other words, we have to work through. How do you do it? Leading through action.
Okay,
but more importantly, they shape the culture by example, demonstrating and promoting practices that lead to better results. Char sent this to you. Right? It's a new, let's say, I don't say new, now let's talk. When this started, but it's about getting out of the linear, top-down mold and contributing with your experience and, more to what we were saying before, giving the team members a sense of belonging. For me, this is about knowing how to identify your right hand as a manager or as a leader. But everyone is your right hand for this, you know? I mean, not everyone, but the vast majority have something to contribute if you give them space, if you give them an opportunity. I don't, no. For me, this is the fit of the extrail fat guy. Why? Yes, I'm telling you because they're people who are in a kind of helicopter role, who observe the entire organization and it's like, well, get together with you because you're going to have synergy and come with me and we're going to get this project done. For me, it depends a lot on where these people are located within the organization, because naturally people are going to live in their silos, and it's very rare for someone who isn't forced to work with other teams to break that to say, oh, well, let's get a tiger team here to get this done. Unless you have many years in the organization where you are exposed to a lot of things, I mean, the leader has to have the power, not to mention being able to say, hey, I think you have to do this like this and have them listen to you because, yes, of course, but you can do it, you don't necessarily have the role of leader because they are precisely the informal leaders, but it is the P who has, I don't know, 20 years of experience, who carries out a lot of things and therefore is a principal or an individual contributor. Quote, sure, but he is the one who is going to bring you closer to the herd and say, well, let's go this way. Let's go there. And the most important thing is that the herd follows him. Of course, because you have the street credit. Of course, he is that person who when you are in the company, even if he is the manager, you know what? I'll ask Andre because Andre, of course, everyone knows that Andre is the, so informally, it's like he
also has informal recognition within the company. Everyone points to you as,
no, for, sure, yes, yes. How do we generate these new leaders? Well, let's see, it's important to give leadership opportunities to the people who are closest to the work, that is, those who are 100% there with the shovel.
Hand, with their hands in the mud.
Of course, with the shovel you have to give them the opportunity to disappoint you, but two benefits. It's proven that, better quality decisions are made, when you have the context of what you have to decide. Clearly, yes,
to be shocked.
Sure. And it gives people experience during those leadership opportunities. I mean, you leave them there for a while to make a decision and that generates a certain management discovers gunpowder. To develop these leaders, we seek to create environments where innovation happens naturally, to encourage flexible work patterns that maximize creativity and contribution.
Okay.
And to focus on enabling rather than controlling. Okay, wow.
How many words? Big words.
Can I get that tattooed? We can. Yeah. Dale's rowing. Dot. Footnote. That's not the part where it says the moments, the sorry, creating environments where innovation happens naturally. You know where innovation usually happens? When you're wasting your time, in your downtime, that's when people really, man, get to talking, and if you have a guy over for coffee, that's when people really talk about what they want to talk about and want to solve the problems they want to solve. Well, the water, what's it like? Water cooler, right? Water cooler, right? It's, no, guys, today we're going to get together for
Innovation Week, Wednesdays at 4 is innovation time. No, no, that's not how it works.
Okay. It has to be spontaneous and when you're in the mood, I mean,
you say that the water cooler moment exists in a 100% remote organization.
Yes.
Yes, you
have to create it, but you have to create that. You know, we talked about something in an episode that Discord was the best tool to generate the water cooler moment. You create the water cooler channel, yes, and you join
A chat. Yes. What's it called? A voice channel. Dot. It's a voice channel. You can do the same in Slack, but you have to create it. Yes. What happens is that it's different because in Slack, when you join, for example, you call or call everyone. But I mean, beyond it being a conversation, right? Maybe you're chatting, like, writing and you need to intentionally generate some. No, but what they propose is that the channel is there and whoever wants to join in can join. I mean, and there you are doing nothing or you are there. You get on and there is no one and there you stay there until you see if someone else comes and hey, what are you doing? Oh, I don't know, I'm here. Well, it's fine. Sure. There's also the issue of later the manager telling you, hey, you spent the whole morning on the sorting channel. That's the manager not busy. Let me get some water. Let me live. We've been playing Tetris all day, he's just brainstorming. Well, this is precisely what we're looking for. Psychological safety is fundamental to this. Psychological safety. We're looking to create a workplace where people feel safe experimenting. Okay? And occasionally failing. Okay. Why? Why are people so afraid of failing and not being let go? Generation can never be let go fast enough. There's a buffer of errors, unless you bring down production. We're talking about extreme cases.
Well, not even if you bring down production once. Who doesn't bring down production once? Sure, I mean.
I prefer people who tell me, look, I was given the initiative, I saw this, it seemed like the best decision and we screwed up, but hey, we did a postmortem and we're not going to do it again. It's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. Well, HR, I don't know if you would agree with that, but hey, but that's what we're talking about. Sure. Where new ideas are welcomed and failures are treated as learning opportunities. 100%. Yes. As long as you're not failing all the time and you're constantly learning. I'm telling you the same thing. If the individual contributor can destroy everything, the problem is with the manager and the business, not with the individual, because if someone brought down production, it's like, first, why could they bring down production? No, but that's not what I mean. To me, it says, look, we have to solve this. And you jump with an idea, look, you know I heard this innovative idea. I don't know what, Huber, I don't know how much. Let me investigate it and, well, go ahead. 300 WS. Well, 300 after the solution. If that solution doesn't work, well, that's what it points to. If that solution doesn't work, you failed, but you learned. Exactly. It's not that you failed under production. Even guys fail under production once in their life. The anecdote that they can always bring, and that's
how you go from being a senior, you go from being a junior to me when you fail in production, you
recover. Yes. You have to create spaces for learning and growth so that this happens without neglecting quality expectations. We were just talking about it here. To enable these environments, it's important to act as a coach or mentor and not as a director. Why are you laughing when you read this? Because I imagine you as a director and I say, I can't. Imagine telling him, look, needy. I mean, everything within my budget, nothing outside my budget. You're a flexible director. Super flexible. You're a report to the director for psychological safety. I mean, my promotions were because I was too informative as a leader and it was like, okay, that's too Latino. Sure. And as for the question, psychological safety is being generated for innovation for me. In public I'm never going to say anything to you. In private I'm going to stab you, but whenever they say things in public I'm always going to support you, always. Okay. Except when they make the episode controversial. Help the person discover solutions and don't impose them. Create opportunities for tasks where people can develop new skills while feeling supported. Creating leadership mindsets in organizations is the most important investment for future organizations. Why? Why? Because, identifying potential informal leaders who currently influence others positively. I mean, it's important to start generating these people so that you have better quality of whatever it is, developers or whatever, creating opportunities for them to solve problems or lead initiatives. And what do you do with? I was just thinking about how it's good to have these people because it's contagious in some way. What do you do when you have a person who, you say, hey, this guy looks like a leader to me, and that person isn't interested? All they want to do is write code, but you don't care. They serve you as an informal leader because they encourage, in other words, they provide you with a service without being a leader. You don't put them as a manager, they're still a contributing individual, but they become a leader, they make decisions. They make decisions, they answer questions, they know how to guide people, they say, hey, talk to so-and-so, he knows how to solve this. You have those contacts. Okay, you know the policies, the policy navigator, but you don't have people in charge, right? And you don't care about having a formal position, let's say. Okay. Well, support their growth with coaching mentorship. Most importantly, model the behavior that they want to see in others. Show vulnerability when you don't have all the answers, show curiosity when faced with challenges, and celebrate learning and knowledge over success. Kind of what we were talking about before, in the other episode, who has to take the blame, let's say, when something goes wrong and take responsibility for that. Be vulnerable. And when I said, vulnerable, it will be the series of 13. Yes, yes, vulnerable. When you say, hey, you've already made a big mistake, because there comes a time when you say, oh, well, we learn from this mistake and then another mistake and then another mistake. Where is the line? Where is the line? There's the line you were saying, well, you're already messing with me. It can't be that I get a different mistake every day. The thing is that I'm very positive, but that's the space you give to the individual contributor who wants to innovate. So, well, you innovated once, twice, stop innovating, do some work. Next month, my love, next month we're going back. You have to give him a karate guide. That's called PIP in many companies. No, not that much either. Innovator will come to you. I mean, there are two types of innovators for me. One is the one who fakes work. Who is doing nothing. That is, he's walking around like a rat and nothing else is generating noise. And then the innovator, can mess up, but he's not that messed up either. He's not consistent in messing up, let's say. Yeah, not for me. He has a lot of self-awareness. I don't know how to translate it. Like, he's very aware of what he does.
The good and the bad.
Sure, the good and the bad. He understands the company, he knows where you're going. I mean, you have to guide him a little, but I don't see him as a serial person.
Yes, those who are stealing are basically those who can use this innovation to say, oh, I'm going to investigate this, I'm going to investigate this over there. Quote, and what do you do when, let's assume that there are only two roles. Okay, the one who is the pure innovator is going to put in and learn from his mistakes. What do you do with those who use this scheme? For me, you have to be somewhat rigid and tell them, okay, look, now I'm assigning you all this, that's it, this is yours. Do it the right way. Quote. In other words, the waste of this skillful leader should in turn mark the territory and say, this is as far as you go. Sure, I mean, you have to set the tone for them a bit. It's not like you're going to let just anyone innovate 100% of the time, because you have to do something. You have to earn it too. Yeah, sure. It's like, let's say, well, you did all this right and now you propose an idea. Well, let's see, let's go there. Now if you come doing all this crap and come to propose an idea, I don't know what you have to say about proposing an idea to me. We'll leave it for the next few yet. Sure, and it's never done again. I write it down on my typewriter and you put it in Disney Wish or Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I don't know. Everyone has their own name for that place and you park it there for a while. Besides, some ideas are fine for me to marinate in that place. They self-refine. And it was a question.
Yes. How do you coordinate all this, considering that this leader is informal and doesn't have the official position or salary of a leader? How do you deal with that? I mean, the guy or girl, it doesn't matter, or whatever you want to call him, leads, does everything, but in reality, he earns the same as the programmer who only steals or is stealing, as we were saying. What happens is that it's kind of hard to,
recognize this whole issue of two things. two legs, let's say. One is what we were talking about, telling him, well, let me innovate a little. And that's when you're cultivating the leader. You're putting fertilizer on the soil.
Sure.
And a new leader is being born and is being made natively, and you can pay him. Eventually you'll pay him as a leader, but he has another philosophy, another mindset of leadership. Or if, as Aragunde said, he doesn't want to take the leadership position, well, that's his problem, but he natively helps the rest, I mean, and he herds the cattle. Okay? He helps you, I mean, you're going to have a leader and you're going to have this native leader working at Denorum as a leader helping the rest. A great BCH from Cred. Train the leader, inform the leader and let them put it on LinkedIn. Inform and DeVoe's practices were one of the first to adopt that individuals were motivated to work with other teams and also usually requires a radical delegation of tasks and decisions. Here we are, right? 10 years later, still struggling. Yes. Yes, with pipelines and marketing and sales and product.
And developers.
Yes. The paradigm shift in the releases of big tech or large SaaS companies forced us to move from annual releases to where, let's say, decisions were made at all levels. You had to deliver this in 2028 and everyone evaluated it and knew what had to be done and that's it, and now everyone is like that. You have monthly, weekly, or even several daily releases. How long does it take Amazon? I don't know. 15,000 per day. Well, then you no longer have that decision making where the CEO likes the color of the button you're going to put or not. And then, that's where you have to lower the level of decision making to even team members, where, knowing the final objective, they can make those decisions and you empower them a little to do it, and that also strengthens them, because, well, it gives them more participation and, therefore, responsibility in the project. Then they don't come to you and say, hey, but who's that horrible color button? Because then we go back to the blame culture and of course. Same thing. The top 100 financial services companies became software companies because the amount of information they have to manage is so large that they require custom systems. So, they have adopted the same methodologies as software companies and therefore have evolved with these new decision-making methods where you are lowering the level. Although you have a goal, let's say the fine or the detail does not rise, it does not scale. And this increase in the speed of decision-making and the need for low-level authorities must be implemented without adding chaos or losing sight of the company's long-term objectives. According to the results, there is a correlation, a high correlation between leadership transformation and IT performance. The teams, again, that closes the idea. High-performing teams consistently report having leaders with transformational leader behaviors. And low-performing teams have leaders with low scores in these behaviors.
And how do you put it? I imagine, I don't know, a survey, I can't imagine. Sure, I've never been asked, but...
In all my years in business, no one in the service or hey, who do you consider an informal leader or who? No. But the questions are, for example, do you think there are barriers to decision-making? When you leave the meetings, everything is defined. Yes. Do you think management has a clear idea of where the company is going? And all those things. But that way you don't identify the informal leaders, you don't identify the feelings of the team or the department, and that's the job of, I mean, you're going to have a highly efficient department that by definition should have these informal leaders running around. For me, operations teams have a lot of this informal leader thing, okay? Because they're very close to the hot potato and the business, and if it breaks, it breaks. Marketing. Marketing, I don't know, man, they have the metrics there, but that's too much trouble. And besides, they're all directors, so they don't need an informal leader, they all have titles, leaders, I mean.
And laughs.
Now that you're a friend of human resources.
Now that you're a friend of.
Human resources, it's. Complex, okay. This is nothing new. The transformation of leadership began in the 70s, when James Burns promoted cooperation, quote, cooperation in leadership between leaders and followers, working together to innovate and implement changes that achieve an inspiring vision. In the 70s, people were already talking about this. In many of these indicators that we mentioned before, the DORA report from 2018 is shown, which is more advanced. And here is a survey that was conducted, that reached 1.7 million people. Okay. 60% of people working in the technology sector are under 35 years old today. I mean, we're talking about.
When is this account? This one.
Is from now, I don't know, last year.
Okay, okay.
We are children, yes.
Yes, we are.
Children. Unlike their parents, I mean, we, look for a job, they look for a desire to belong and purpose in a job. Okay? They want to feel inspired by the mission and aligned with the values of the company. I don't know if I don't
agree so much with that, but maybe because I'm no longer in that age range.
Sure,
maybe that's the problem. You, Nachi, you fall into the age range. Yes, I work for that. The salary doesn't matter to me. I want to be aligned with the company too. Sure, everything. Yes. According to the survey, 66% of Generation Z are aligned with this. In other words, of the Zs who work in Haiti, 60% are aligned with being inspired by the mission and values of the company. They know them because it seems to me that the idiot, well, maybe it's because they have to.
See how to make ravioles on the disc or maybe.
Maybe, choose, that was a low blow. Yes, yes, yes. 50% of millennials, 45% of Generation X and 35% of baby boomers. I mean, as the newest.
The oldest, the.
Oldest don't give a damn about anyone and we want the village, the green, the lettuce, Kara, the big face. And apparently Generation Z, or young people, care more. Well, I work at this company that does, things for the environment. Do you have corporate social responsibility? If not, I can't work.
But it's okay, it's the circle of life.
I mean, when we were young, all of us wore the shirt of the company, this, where we worked, even though we maybe earned 2 pesos. It's a reality. I mean, when you're young you're idealistic, you believe a lot of things that aren't reality, and as life goes on, things happen to you and it's like you change a little bit and the percentages show it. I mean, it's not something
directly proportional, that's
why it's not something that you just have and it's okay. I think as Mariano says, it's a bit of a part of life. I mean, you grow up and you see that this isn't really the case, that, well, it's
not that this isn't the case, but that there are different roles that different generations have to fulfill. No, but this idea that my job has to be fulfilling, validating my work-life balance, having my corporate conscience agra.
Those are, symbols of the era of the 100% era. I want to have my latte with caramel macchiato. Coming in, don't mess with caramel macchiato.
I agree, yes. There's a thing about us screwing around with everything. It gives me anxiety, but man, it's literal.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, and that's a summary of the informalities. I have a checkpoint of things that we were already talking about, technical competence, organizational competence, but we're not going to bore you with each of these checkpoints, we'll put them below in the description. Okay. And how does an inspirational leader interact? What was it like? No, an informative leader with a traditional leader, a top-down corporate leader. Or not, due to the type of company or the type of culture, they shouldn't coexist under the same organization. Of course, they are complementary. For me, the corporate leader abuses the informal leader. Okay, they are in parallel or Of course, and they take advantage of all those benefits that the team obtains, of course. The informal leader and the corporate leader take the benefits, take the successes with votes, they
make good cops.
No, not even because, as Borgo explains, it's a kind of abusive situation. Of course, I mean, they abuse each other. Ah, well, I'm not going to support them emotionally, that's what I have this guy for, he really motivates them. Of course, you delegate leadership things that you should fix the culture to the informal leaders. But, ultimately, it serves the company, I mean, I guess, yes, and you also cheat them because surely the informal leader has superhero syndrome and so he wants to be there, he
wants to be there, save everyone.
Save everyone. So Fundillo, this one.
How bad?
Let's play, Andre, let's play golf. Wednesday 10th, Nachi grabs the shovel, makes everyone work. We arrive at noon, have lunch and go to the office.
But we come and say, how's it going? How's everything? How's
it going? How's
everything going? I'm going to tell you a story about the first consulting firm I worked for, where we worked long hours, the schedule was quite long, and they had a project with about 15 developers, a lot of people. We were working on a Sunday at noon. Yes, because it was a weekend, a full weekend, and the PM came to the company. I remember his name very well, but I won't say it. The PM came to the company. Back then, there was no home office, nothing, there were three companies. The PM came to the company at 11:30 and said, how are we doing? How are we doing? How's everything going? So he met with one of the guys, one of the seniors, I don't know, to see, I don't know, and at 12:30 he said, okay, guys, I'll leave you because I have to go make some. Bye, see you later.
Spectacular. Yeah. You're not leaving that way. That's it, and I left. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, let's all go then. Bye. But say that you have to go because your pet got sick, it's dying. Yeah, yeah.
Again, youth, wearing the shirt, this, believing that everything is good. Nothing, I don't want to tell young people not to do it because I think it's also a bit of an experience of saying, well, you're like acquiring. You weren't in founder mode there. It happened to me very sideways. A, people bought Audis, they bought houses in the gated communities and I, the founder mode, I didn't have the yellow Ferrari. I send a kiss to all my colleagues, they'll understand the reference.
And did you stay on Sunday afternoon?
A, I had to stay, yes.
F, close, I closed the episode. Well, Andre informs the leader. What a galley, without a doubt.
Unfortunately I had to stay, but then I left.
When I was a manager, I would share with my team these Instagram posts that people make, motivational quotes, but they're a disaster. They depress you, like they're mocking you. Yes, yes. Oh, I'll leave it later in the yes. But yes, closed with a close up.
What did you learn from all this? Let's
see, I think you always learn things. I think that's something you have to walk that path. I mean, these are things that you have to do, no matter what. Don't let yourself be abused. I mean, informal leaders, if you're going to be an informal leader, don't let yourself be abused. Realize when you're giving too much and that they're not recognizing what you're doing. So I think that's like the end of the episode. I tell you not to let anyone abuse you, not your peers or your superiors. Enjoy your work. Nothing, try to find the fun in it. There are always things to learn, there are always things to do, but don't let anyone accuse you. I think that's my
genius. And if this is happening to you, what you can do is go to sysarmy.com/discord, and we have a lot of places where you can come to cry, to laugh, to celebrate small wins, to scream in case your manager is making you work on a Sunday. What was it like? Noon.
Sunday at noon.
Okay, until the afternoon. But anyway, thanks Borgo for this episode. Let's try to reflect. Comment in the comments if you are traditional leaders or informal leaders, what type of leader? Or what do you think? Maybe during this broadcast there was a poll about which one is going to win, the informal or the traditional, so we'll find out later in the comments. Well, thanks to everyone for joining and I'll see you in the next episode of Nope.
Until next time, thanks, bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Oh.